Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Not all fasting is because of sorrow. There's another kind of fast, and this kind moves the heart of God.
Why is fasting more frequently talked about in the New Testament? Why isn't it emphasized more? Is it because there's not as much sorrow now as there was in Old Testament times? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 9:14. John's disciples come, ask him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, your disciples don't fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. So, he's saying that now that I'm here, it's a time of celebration. It's different. There's more joy now. Now, I realize some people interpret this differently. There's some people that say the time of joy was very short. It was only Jesus' earthly life, and as soon as he died, it was over. And they go right back to fasting because Jesus said, when I'm taken from them, then they'll fast. What is that taking away that causes us to fast again? Is that the cross, or is that the ascension? Some people teach it's the ascension. Jesus is taken away into heaven, and we fast all the way through the whole New Testament era because we don't have Jesus with us. We don't have his immediate presence with us. So when Jesus said, after I'm gone, then they'll fast, is that talking about the whole New Testament period, or is that just talking about the 3 days in the tomb that they fasted? I'm convinced it's just talking about the 3 days in the tomb. Because when Jesus rises from the dead, that's not a time for fasting. That is a time for joy. That is not a time for grief. And I get that mainly from the next verses. Verses 16 and 17, Jesus gives two little parables. Those two parables, all three Gospels that have this account about the fasting, immediately afterwards are these parables. So the parables are connected to the fasting. Jesus is making a point about what he just said about fasting. And in the parables, he says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they put new wine into new wineskins, both are preserved. The point of all that is you got old and you got new, and you can't mix them together. The old doesn't fit with the new. And so the old wineskins of the old kind of fasting doesn't really fit this new era. There's a difference. And this is what I was saying. Jesus tweaked it. He made an adjustment to the Old Testament fasting. There's something different. And that something different is joy. Was it fitting? Is it still fitting nowadays for us to fast in times of great sorrow? Yes, it is. For example, like when Jesus was crucified, that made sense to fast then. But when he arose from the dead, that he inaugurated a whole new era of joy. Matthew 28:8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell all his disciples. It's a time of joy. You say, well, yeah, but what about after the ascension? What about when Jesus disappeared into heaven, and now they're standing there by themselves on earth with no Jesus anymore? Wasn't that kind of a sad moment? Well, let's see how sad it was. Let's read it. Luke 24:51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It wasn't a time of grieving, it was a time of great joy. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we long to see him now face to face. Yes, there's a kind of homesickness for heaven, but the fact that we can't see him now doesn't kill our joy. In fact, 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You say, well, what about suffering? What about trials and affliction and persecution? Doesn't the New Testament say there's going to be a whole lot of suffering and persecution? Yes, it does. But that doesn't destroy our joy either. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul says, I'm greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. It's a time of joy. That's the adjustment Jesus made to the Old Testament fasting. The Old Testament system of fasting, still in place, still the same, everything's the same, except we do it less because there's just so much more joy now. There's so much more reason to celebrate now.
Fasting to intensify your prayers is a great way to discover how serious you really are about the request. Sometimes we plead with God, "Oh Lord, this is so important to me. Please, please, please grant this request." But how much do you really want what you're asking for? More than you want food? Would you be willing to fast over it? If not, it may be a weaker desire than you thought. We can be that way sometimes with besetting sins that we're praying for victory over. Lord, please give me victory. But we don't want victory enough to pray with fasting for it. What is the deepest, most driving desire of your heart at this time? Is there something you claim to really, really desire from God? Consider a time of intensive prayer with fasting.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.